1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 17, just one verse, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. First Timothy 6 and verse 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We thank you for the time that we can be together this morning in your presence. We pray that you would reveal truths to us, Lord, that can guide us and help us and through each day, and that we can be the witnesses you would have for us to be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And there are so many ways in which we can recognize that there's a great profit and great benefit to us as we read and as we study and as we meditate on the Holy Scriptures on so many levels, from so many different facets. As we read the Scriptures, different concepts, different truths, as we apply them, we can be benefited by them spiritually, physically, emotionally, and even financially. But of one thing specifically we recognize the benefit of the Scripture is that it is a reality check for us. That the Scriptures are absolute truth, and that we know that we can trust what the Scriptures say in all areas of our life. That we can view this world and the things of this world in a certain way. We can assume that that's the way that it is, that's the way that it always has been, the way it always will be. But if we're never challenged in our thinking, we can continue on in that way of thinking. It might be completely wrong. And the way of thinking that we'll have will affect the choices we make, the things that we value, the attitude toward which we face life. But when we read and study and meditate upon the Scriptures, so often the Lord can confront us with a truth that just kind of changes our whole perspective. We find that the assumptions that we had were wrong. Our thinking we find is conformed to that of this present evil world, which is under the power and influence of the devil. And what we assume to be true has actually been a deception of the devil, designed to get us and to keep us off track. And when we realize that, it kind of upsets us that he's kind of pulled the wool over our eyes for so long. And we kind of get annoyed with ourselves that we didn't see it before. But once the light of God's word pierces through, dispels the darkness, we get a fresh perspective. It has a way of changing everything. We can realize, well, I can apply it to this area too, and it blesses me in that area. I can apply it here as well, and it's going to help me. And we can find this to be true in many areas, but for today we want to focus on one area, and that is the subject of joy. Joy is something we would describe as happiness, of cheerfulness. If we're to picture in our mind someone that's joyful, it's someone that's got a smile on their face, kind of got a twinkle in their eye, someone that's just kind of got a life to them, a happiness, kind of even a glow, and it's somebody that we want to be around, a person like that, that they're infectious. I remember I had a great aunt, her name was Eleanor, and she was just a neat lady. She was, even though she was in her 80s, she had so much energy, and she was so full of life that you almost kind of get tired almost being around her for the day. But she had just kind of a joy and a excitement for life, and you enjoyed being with her and just being with her, and even just thinking about her kind of still brings a smile to my face. But we could picture on the opposite hand someone that doesn't have joy, someone whose head is down, someone that their brow is furrowed, they have a frown, someone that's miserable and grumpy, that in contrast, that's not a person that we really want to be around, someone that's a grump because we figure, well, they're going to make us grumpy. It's kind of, I know with our kids that, of course, there's always times, mornings, where they'll wake up on the wrong side of the bed and kind of be grumpy, and you want to try to get them alone and say, well, change your attitude because you're going to make everyone else grumpy too. You want to start out right. And as a believer of the two that we can think of, we would say, well, I should be the first one. I want to be joyful. I want, there should be a joy in my life that draws others. And we recognize from the scriptures that there should be much for us as Christians to be joyful about. The fact that we're saved and what we have to look forward to, that we have an eternity in heaven that is promised to us as we have trusted in Christ. And we recognize from the scriptures that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit is within us and is living out His life through us, and so we would desire and expect that joy would be manifested in our life. And in different places in the scriptures we find, this is in 1 John 1 verse 4, it says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And so we see, well, we should have joy. The Lord wants us to have be full of joy. But when we look at it and we see where we're at, and we say, well, the joy that I'm doesn't seem to be all that full. Like if I had a kind of a tank of joyfulness in my life, it kind of seems like it's always running on empty. It shouldn't be at the level that it should be. That I had joy at one time, but it seems that somewhere there was a slow leak, and it just kind of, it's all kind of gone away, and I don't know where it went. And but if someone say, well, I want it to be there. I want it back. I don't know how it went away, but I want to have it returned to me. As David, we pray unto God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what we desire, to find that again, that we've had it different times. We think of the times when we first trusted in Christ, that our sins were washed away, that we knew that our eternal destiny was settled, that we brings great joy to us. We sang the song, "Oh happy day that fixed my choice." It was such a great time of joy to our life. And sometimes we lose that somehow, and we want to find it. We want to get it back. And so when we look at it, we say, well, I should be joyful as a Christian. That joy should be there in my heart, but it's not. We ask ourselves, why not? What happened to it? And I'm quite sure that none of us set out in life with the plan that, okay, I want to be miserable. That's kind of my goal for today, is just to have a miserable day and be miserable to everyone else. And that's not what we want to be. That's not the destination that we pick from the beginning, but so often we find that's where we end up. And so we ask, well, how did I get here? How did the old GPS is leading me in the wrong place if I'm getting to this point in my life. And so we want to see that. And sometimes when we get in a bad way of thinking, that we get kind of miserable and we don't find joy, then we even start to think, well, maybe I'm not saved. And that makes us even more miserable. And when we get to that point, we need to know that our thinking is way wrong, and it's been way wrong for a while to get us to that point as a believer. And essentially what's been happening is that our old nemesis, the devil, has been messing with us. He's been bringing things into our lives slowly and imperceptibly, and he's been robbing us of our joy. That sometimes it can be something big that happens in our life. Something that just kind of shakes us to the core and just causes it to go away. Sometimes it can just be a bunch of little things, just kind of day after day, that kind of weigh upon us, and it just, they take it away, and we wake up at a certain point, we find, what happened to the joy in my life? I'm overwhelmed by the struggle of life, I'm stuck in this position, and kind of what happens is when we get in that position, the devil convinces us that I can only really have joy again when my situation changes, when my circumstances change. That person can say, well, things have been hard, we've been struggling financially, I'll have joy again when we get to the other side of that. Or say, well, I'm having real trials now, real temptation, different things, when they're over, then I'll have joy. And that makes sense to us. That seems, if my circumstances are good, I'll have joy. If they're not good, then I won't have joy. But we see from the scriptures that we get a different perspective. Habakkuk chapter 3, it's in the Old Testament, and prophets. Habakkuk chapter 3 In verse 17 it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so we see with Habakkuk that is essentially saying, even if I have a complete crop failure, and basically I don't have any more cattle drive because there's no cattle left to drive, that basically everything's gone, yet I'm still going to rejoice. That this was something that he had decided upon. And it doesn't make sense to us, but the scriptures show that. We see as well in times of temptation that when we're in difficult times, if there's no way that we can have joy. But yet we see in James chapter 1, verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And so we see from these that the assumption that we make that our joy is based on our circumstances, it's a false assumption, that different circumstances will bring us joy. Because what we'll do is we'll go from one place to another, we'll try to get away from where we're at, we'll try to find a way to get away. We maybe think, well, I'll take a break, but even during our break we still can't find a joy. And the thing is, we're chasing joy in all the externals of life and we can't catch up to it. But the problem is not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside. And we need a fresh perspective, a new way of seeing things. And we see this in this passage that we looked at in 1 Timothy. There's just the last phrase, and it's something that I know with myself that I didn't really pay that much attention to it or just what it means, but that's sometimes how it can be as you read the scriptures, that the Lord just kind of shows us something and it's like, oh, why didn't I see that before? And we see in this passage where it says, just the last phrase of that verse, but we trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That from this we recognize, first of all, that everything that we have in this life is a gift from God. That it is something that out of His benevolence that He has provided it for us. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That all that we receive is from His hand, whatever it might be. We see as well Acts 17 and verse 25, as Paul spoke on Mars Hill in Athens, he says, of God, that he giveth to all life and breath and all things, that he gives these unto mankind, to the evil and to the good. And it's being a gift, we recognize that all that we receive is not something that any of us earn or anything that we deserve. Because if we got what we earned, if we got what we deserved, we would all be in the torments of hell because of our sin. That the wages of sin is death. That is what, if we got what we earned, we got what we deserved, that's all we would have to look forward to. But it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so everything that we have, the breath we have, the life that we live, all things comes as a byproduct of the manifold grace of God. That's the idea of grace, is His unmerited favor upon us. And He does not give to us sparingly, He gives to us richly. That's what it says. He giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That we understand that throughout creation, of how He didn't just give us a world that was black and white. He gave us a world with so many different colors. And there's so many different combinations of those colors that bring such beauty to our lives. That He didn't just give us one flavor of food for us to eat, that there's so many different varieties and combinations of those flavors that can be such a blessing to us. That we think of everything, that He doesn't just give a little bit, that he gives a lot, that even in that greatest gift, the gift of eternal life through his Son, it says, Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That he gave his best, he gave his Son for us, and because he delivered him for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That we can be assured of that, that it speaks in Philippians 4, verse 19, that God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That it's not just out of his riches in the sense that he has all these riches, but he's just going to give us just a tiny little bit. It's according to his riches, because he has a lot, he's going to bless a lot. And so he gives abundantly. And when it says all things, that all means all. That it can be good, it can be things that we would look at as being bad. But we recognize that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to the purpose. That he has a purpose for them. We don't understand it at the time, but we will later on. But finally we see the last word of that, that he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And to enjoy is the idea of to find joy in, to take pleasure and satisfaction in the possession of or the experience of. And we figure that it's based upon things that we have joy. That if I have these things, or if these things happen to me, I will have joy. And if I don't, it's not possible for me to have joy. But God is saying whatever we have, whatever situation we're in, it's been given to us out of the mercy and grace of God, and it is for us to enjoy. Whether or not we enjoy it is a matter of perspective and a matter of choice. It is not that we can't have joy, that it is possible. In Ecclesiastes 5, in verse 18, the statement is made, Ecclesiastes 5, and verse 18, it says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. That it is a good thing to enjoy. That is the portion that God has given unto him. And so we see with this that we can have joy. And for that to happen, to find joy in life again, we need a change of mind and a change of heart. And as we apply this truth to our life, we say, okay, if everything that I have has been given unto me richly to enjoy, I need to take account of what I have been given by God and determine to enjoy it. And so how does this work? To illustrate, you can think of someone that's sitting down for a meal. That there's different ways that you could partake of that meal that's set before you. If you're in a rush, you got things to do, you're going to wolf it down. Sometimes you might pick at the food and grumble over it. Or you can take time to enjoy it, to savor it, to appreciate it. I remember one time that we were at a restaurant, we got taken out, and I know we didn't, well, they were paying for the meal, and they were getting steak, and so they encouraged us to do so too, and it was some that kind of, we didn't get steak that often when we were first married and things, and so we looked forward to it when we got that. And I remember that because they got their steaks and they were kind of complaining, oh, it isn't done right, and it just, I should almost send it back. And I was just so glad just to have steak and just enjoying every bite. And so it's a different thing. That it's the same as someone if they're used to a really fancy meal, that to eat macaroni and cheese is kind of not something that they would like. But if you're a bachelor and you've been working hard and you're hungry and you've eaten your own cooking, and someone gives you like homemade macaroni and cheese or something, it's just, it would be something that you'd savor, you'd enjoy. And so that's how it needs to be with all areas of our life. That so often what our problem is we're in such a rush that we rush through everything in life that we don't take time to enjoy it. We miss out on things. Or sometimes we can grumble if it isn't exactly what we ordered. But if we take time to savor life, to appreciate it, to rejoice in the blessings of the moment, that's when we can truly find this joy that the Lord wants to give us. And so we can apply it to many different areas in our life. When we think of, it says, He giveth us all things richly to enjoy, the greatest gift that He has given us is that of salvation. That we, though we are sinful creatures, we are guilty before God, yet that we can pass from death into life through faith in His Son. That our sins can be forgiven, we can be adopted as His children, we can have a home with Him forever, we're justified, we're redeemed, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. The Lord has given us of His Spirit, and it's the earnest of our inheritance, the idea, it's the down payment of what we are to receive, that there's so much more coming. And the thought that we are His children, that our sins have been cleansed, the veil has been rent, and that we can enter into the presence of the Lord and have access to the Father, that we can have a relationship with the God of heaven and earth, that it's a tremendous privilege and it's a tremendous blessing. It's not what we deserve, but it's what His grace has bestowed upon us through faith in Christ. But the question is, do we enjoy that relationship with Him? Do we enjoy Him? Do we enjoy the Lord? That so often what happens is we're in such a rush, we pray to get what we want, and then we get what we want, and then we go. That there's too much for us to do, but when we're in such a rush, we miss out. That we need to learn to savor, we need to learn to linger in the presence of the Lord. That God wants to enjoy us. He wants us to enjoy Him. That we're going to spend eternity together with Him, and we can just get a sense of the joy that we're going to have being with Him, that so shall we ever be with the Lord. But we don't have to wait till eternity to enjoy that closeness with Him right now. That we can be close to Him and be blessed by being in His presence. It speaks in Psalm 16, verse 11, it says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are blessings forevermore." That we want to experience that. We want to know the joy that we can have with Him. And if we're in His presence, we can't help but have joy. That we're changed for the better by just being in His presence. That joy springs from that closeness with Him, that relationship of Father to child, of Christ to His bride to church, that just that we can even partake of that, that it's something that we never deserve, we could never earn, but yet through the blood of His Son that we're able to partake of, that we learn to enjoy it, we learn to appreciate it, and savor the time that we have. We can think also other things the Lord has given us, specifically of our family. Do you think of your spouse? Do you enjoy each other? Do you savor and appreciate the time that you have together? Do you as a parent enjoy your children? Do you have time? Do you savor the moment with them? That so often we get so busy, there's so much to do, or we can look at everything the other person does wrong, And especially with kids, that we can focus on, well, they're not doing that right, and the time that we have with them, they're acting up, and we can get frustrated. It was interesting, someone said to me a while ago, he said, if you don't enjoy your children, it's your own fault. And that's true on so many different levels, but the thing is that enjoying our family has and should have nothing to do with how they act or don't act, but it's instead our attitudes towards them. We think of Adam. He fell into sin, and what did he say to God? He said, well, the woman that thou gavest me, that she was the problem. When if he just would have remembered just a while before of how he was in the garden and there was found no helpmeet for him, and how much he appreciated that the Lord had brought this woman into his life and that had given him that. And that it's something that we want to get that perspective. It says, Proverbs 18, verse 22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That it's a blessing to have that. It's something of His grace. And so we're to learn to do that, that with our spouse, that we're to enjoy, we're to be satisfied, to rejoice with the wife of thy youth, that it says that it's something that we remember the time it was like before when we were alone. And I remember different times like that when I was on my own, eating my own food and just living by myself and just hoping that someone would come across my path or the Lord would bring someone in my life. And it gives you that perspective where you learn to appreciate again. Or different times when you were younger where you thought, well, it'd be so good to have children. And then you get these certain children and say, we almost thought, well, I want to have children, but not necessarily these children. This isn't what I was looking for. But we recognize that kids are going to do things to frustrate you and they won't always please you. But you need to be thankful for each moment that you get to spend with them. That the fact that you have them, that they're a life that you have, when you first got to hold them as a babe, and you remember how precious it was that they were brought into this world, how thankful you were, that we don't know how long that we'll have our children in our life, that quickly they'll grow and leave home. But sometimes even we don't know that things can happen, unfortunately, and they might be taken sooner than we think, and we want to enjoy the time with them. That we want to make the most of it because we don't know how much time we have. And it's something as well that I think that we recognize if our kids know that we enjoy them and if we take time to be with them, that they'll respond and we'll find that they're more enjoyable to be around. And a lot of times that's what it is. If we're more enjoyable to be around, they'll be more enjoyable to be around. And so we need to learn that we think, well, they've got a bad attitude, but someone has said attitude reflects leadership, that sometimes they have a bad attitude because they're just taking back what we have. And so with all of this, we think of it, of how all that we're supposed to do is to be a reflection of the Lord, that He has a relationship with us of a father to child, that He enjoys us and we enjoy Him, that's the way we're to be to our children, that we enjoy the time with them. That it isn't a matter of what they do or don't do that determines if we enjoy them, that they know that we love them, we know that we enjoy just being with them. And we think of Christ, of how He, in His bride, the church, of how He won His bride, and He's sanctifying and cleansing it by the washing of the water of the Word, that He has that fellowship with us that brings joy to Him, and He wants to bring joy to us, that we want to have that as husband and wife as well. And with so many other things that we can think of, the job that we have, that we recognize if our job's so bad that we can't have any joy, then there's lots of other different jobs that we could find. But the problem might not be with the job, and we need to recognize that whatever job we might have, it's a gift that's been given us by God to help us provide. That I know different times when I was unemployed and kind of waiting to be called, it's not a nice position to be in, to be unemployed. And so we need to learn to enjoy it. And I remember that it was kind of some at where I lived there near Trail, that always the smelter was a place where you could always knew you could find employment. But it was always the place, well, I don't want to work there. That's just dirty and awful and everything else. But then it ended up that I got a job, and that's where I was working. And it was kind of thought, well, I don't know about this, because some places in there, it is pretty gross. But I learned to enjoy it. And I found it, I really had a lot of fun there, that had a good crew and kind of a good company that I worked for. And there is a lot of fun there. I still have a lot of good memories of times that we were kind of down in the mud together and doing things, but we could laugh about it afterwards. And so whatever we have, we don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to just kind of with so many things in life, just kind of use them and abuse them and throw them away. We want to savor them. We want to appreciate them. And whatever trial or difficulty that we're in, that we learn to count it all joy. That we say, okay, well, God has a purpose in this. He's going to bring me through this for my good. That if for no other reason, that in this trial that He'll bring me to my knees, that He'll drive me into His presence so that I can once again be renewed, be empowered, and have joy once again in my life. And we want to understand that the Lord wants our joy to be full, that He has given us all things richly to enjoy. He hasn't given us things to make us miserable, that's His plan, His purpose, for us to find joy in life, find joy in Him, and through finding that joy in Him, find joy in everything else in life. And if we don't have joy, it's not because we're a victim of our circumstances, as the devil would try to convince us. We need to change our perspective, transform our thinking, and see life as it really is. And as we do that, as we make this truth real in our life, and we realize that these things are here for me to enjoy, then we'll discover a real joy in our life that we never thought was attainable, that we'll find that this joy that we have will draw others, that they'll see that there's a difference, that someone sees the joy or the smile on our face, that even though things may not be going good, that we can still have that joyfulness, that it's going to draw them, that they're going to say, I want to find out about this Jesus that they serve, because they have joy even in the midst of trouble. And so may the Lord help us that we would learn this principle, that we truly would learn to enjoy all that God has given us, and so that the life we can find in Him will be what He always desired for us to have. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your word once again. We just pray You would help us to see this truth, to make it real in our lives, Lord, to change our attitude and perspective, that we don't know how much time we have on this earth, Lord. We don't have tomorrow, we only have today. Just pray You would help us to savor and to appreciate each day, each moment is a gift from You, to enjoy it, and just pray You would help us, Lord, to have this joy, and that You would manifest it in our lives, Lord, so that we can be a blessing and a help to others as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 264. In the Garden, number 264.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and a voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Now, Brother Arlen, can you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Amen. You're dismissed.